Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and God bless. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass. For those who know me, know that I mean just that. I'm never afraid to have to step back and let someone else who knows more than me step up. But what God has given me, I'm not afraid to speak. And sometimes it creates difficulties because people today, well, so many people today, I can't say all people, are locked into their tradition. Things that the Baptist Church has been doing for 200 years, or the Catholic Church has been doing for 1,500 years, or whatever the case may be. They all have their own way of doing things, and more times they're actually ignoring what the Scripture says. To cause the aid to that problem, God knows how many different Bibles there are out there, with so many different interpretations of so many different words. You got people out there who are saying that there are no J's in the Hebrew language, so his name couldn't have been Jesus, as if that matters. You got people out there doing all sorts of things. You got the Yahweh people, and you got the this people, and you got the that people. And in the midst of all of that, the true people sent to deliver the Lord's word get lost. Because those people aren't looking for money. They're not looking for rewards, and they're not looking for a Rolls Royce. They're not looking for large church buildings with 10,000 members in the congregation, as if someone could take care of 10,000 people. The hard part is those people who are actually dedicated to the work and the work alone, dedicated to the word and the word alone, sometimes get lost in the shuffle. Let's start with the concept of what everyone believes is the fivefold ministry. There's actually only four. And the reason why I can stand so bold and say that is because the wording of the Scripture. The Scripture throughout, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, is explicit. It means exactly what it says. There's nothing there that's vague. There's nothing there that's maybe. So when the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, it does not say and some teachers. It says and some pastors and teachers, period. So someone, I don't know when, decided that there was five and not four, and that person was in error. Like so many errors, it got picked up by other denominations and other people who thought that in order for you to be a pastor, which is a calling, it's a life, it's the way you live, it's everything about you. It's just not a title. In fact, it isn't a title at all. But someone along the line took that and they made it into, if you're going to be a pastor or a bishop, you got to have the entire repertoire, as if we're talking about a big business. This is not true. We're going to be dealing with Genesis today. So we're going to be dealing with the first chapter of Genesis. And I have said many, many, many times that there's more information in the first chapter of Genesis probably than there is in the Library of Congress. But people tend to just skim over Genesis, the first chapter, I mean, as if thing they need to know they have read and understand. There's a reason why there are teachers. There are teachers because not everyone can do it. there are teachers as far as the word is concerned, it's because not everyone is called to do it. The job is hard enough as it is. But too many people, some glory seekers, some actually believing that the Lord has called them to sit behind the podium or stand behind the podium and sit on the pulpit in that center seat, that they don't understand that your education has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you can teach the Word of God. God prepared you to teach His Word. He prepared you to pastor the people, the children, the adults that He had given you for the foundation of time. If you read John, I think it's 17, none that thou hast given me except the son of perdition. Well, these 12, including Judas, were lined up to work with Jesus before Adam was created. And ordained position, which means no pastor can call upon someone to be a deacon if God has not raised that person to be exactly that. The deacon is in service to the Lord Jesus first. Then he's connected to the people. Then he's connected to the
God, rather than not that he should make the pastor aware of this,
or it's something that he can take care of himself, or guide this person to someone else who can take care of. There's so much going on in the church that people have just accepted
at
face value what generations of wrong-minded people have given to them. Okay. Before I...
A little later.
The guest call-in number is 1-917-889-8881. That's 1-917-889-8881. By God's grace, we'll begin with the first verse. Three words are often ignored. It's assumed, I should say, not ignored, but assumed in the beginning. In the beginning. Have you ever asked what began or who began? Always was, always will be. So, beginning means a time frame. If there's a start, there's an end. So there's a time frame set up here. And since God has no beginning and he has no end, what's up in the beginning?
Saying, in the beginning, God.
Then it says, he created heaven and the earth. God created heaven and the earth. Created means that there was nothing there before. When you start dealing with science, you start dealing with people, there is no concept with them that says a being, single being, created what we know as the universe, because there's more than one being. And the most interesting thing about the Big Bang, even if I understood all of the science connected with the Big Bang, that would tell me that there had to be something there before the bang, something that caused the bang. Well, if there was something there that caused the bang, then there was something before that and something before that. There's a cause. Scientists may have or believe that they have figured out what that cause is. What could it possibly be that caused the bang to occur? The life on the planet Earth. I don't want to get into life on any other planet. I don't want to get into life on any other solar system, any other universe. I'm just talking about right now here. Everything that was created was created for the introduction of man for how many years? May not actually even be there anymore because of the time frame that it takes for light to move from where that star is to our eyes on Earth. We're no longer even there. Exploded. They're gone. That's the reality. So when we start talking about God created, made, fashioned, we have to understand that everything that God has ever done has been for purpose. Everything that he has done has served a purpose. And if you start there as a believer, for someone who's, you know, on the fence, if you start there, then reading the scriptures becomes just a tiny, tiny bit easier. Because you start thinking in terms of yourself. Even if you're lying, it's so bad. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to read by God's grace. Verse 3. The world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. What was made from nothing. God took nothing. He spoke, and it appeared. It was there. Now, I know it's hard for people who are a thinking mind to grab hold to concept that to them that they just can't, you know, believe unless they see proof. Well, you know, the 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about faith, but we're not going to get in too deep into that right now. See, either you believe or you don't believe. Some people, it takes them a little longer to grab hold to the concept of belief. Some people grab hold to it immediately. But without faith, there's no belief. And I'm not talking about God. Donald Trump has a mental problem. And I don't hesitate to say that. But in order for him to accomplish anything that he's ever accomplished, he had to believe that he could do it. And I'm not talking about how he did it. I'm talking about the fact that he did it. He had to believe it. Well, wouldn't you think the same thing is true for believers in Jesus Christ? We believe that he's there, and we haven't seen him. Chapter 1. There's a lot of debate among theologians about the beginning of verse 2, and mainly because it says, by God's grace, and the earth was without form. The earth was without form. It had no shape. When the earth was created, it appears that it had no shape. Then there's the school of the next verse, or part of the second verse. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Searching my mind, talking to the Lord off and on for over 20 years to please show me where the water came. And first, I want to, you know, separate something. I know I'm jumping way ahead of what we're doing here, but I need you to understand that there's not water. Water
is water.
Earth is land. The scripture says, where am I at here? Be patient with me, please. Here we go. In verse 10,
this is,
and God called, listen, let's go verse 9. The scripture says, and God says, that the waters under the heaven be dry land, earth, and the gathering together of the waters called and God saw that it was good. Somebody, somewhere, in one of these, you know, translations or one of these precepts, took upon themselves to call the entire globe
earth
for you at the time. But if you're following the scripture, you have to understand that when God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know that the water plays a huge, one of my favorite words, ginormous. Find out yet where the water came from, because even in the beginning, God had no mention in creating water. But that's a subject for another time when I can actually, you know, give specifics about that. But when he speaks of the earth, he's talking about dry land. So when he says the earth was without form, and we look at the dry land now, what's he talking about? What was seen separate from the water, alongside of the water, or under the water? Because we just read in verse 10 where it says, in verse 9 where it says, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Evidently, the land was already there when the water moved. I need to pause here for a second. Understanding Genesis 1, believe it or not, helps us to better understand the coming of Jesus Christ. When he began to look at Genesis 1, and I'm not even talking about right now Genesis 2, but if we began to examine Genesis 1 carefully, closely, without being hurried, without looking for anything, just reading it over and over again and asking the Lord to show you what he intends to show you, 9 times out of 10, what's revealed to you is going to come from one of his teachers. It may come from not going to be easy to grab hold of. What I mean is, it's not going to be easy to understand. One of the hardest things that we do is accept at face value without examination, even though the scripture tells us to study to show ourselves the truth. We don't examine. We take for granted. Examining what the
teacher told you is not a bad thing.
There's no disrespect to the teacher. There's no disrespect to the pastor. There's not saying that there's nothing that is saying you don't know what you're talking about. But if you do study what it is that you're being taught, truth is revealed. Truth is revealed through understanding. The Bible doesn't say just take what Peter said at face value because Peter walked with Jesus. Judas walked with Jesus. Paul criticized Jesus. He held a coat while his friends beat Stephen to death. Rocks, hands, whatever it is that they could use. He stood by and watched and was in total agreement with what they were doing. We need help understanding what it is that we're being asked to do. Because if we don't get help understanding what it is that we're being asked to do, we can easily, and I mean very easily, go down the same road of Judas. Because Judas believed what he was doing was right, all the way up until the time he didn't do it. He didn't believe it. Now, I know that this may cause the skeptics to celebrate a little bit, put their hands together, you know, and celebrate a little bit. But real is real. The Bible didn't come to us in chapter, verse, and with punctuation. Not the Old Testament, not the New Testament. That came about much later. And because it came about much later, it distorted scripture meaning. So a lot of people, and I have, God knows, I have no idea how many have gotten lost, sidetracked, whatever you want to call it, because they have depended upon punctuation, chapter, and verse, without understanding that that's not the way it was written. And the people who did this, what is it? The seven or around that area. The verses came about in about 1551. No one knows exactly who brought in the punctuation, but they believe it happened around 500 BC. I don't know that any of these dates is true. It's just what I've been able to find. In 1560 came the Vulgate. That was the Old Testament. And the New Testament, written in Latin. And for the longest time, the Catholic Church, everything they did in the church was based on the Vulgate, and it was done in Latin. So if you didn't read Latin, there was no way for you to get any of this out. That's why they were so angry with Martin Luther, who redid the Bible in German, and they were so afraid of this guy in England right around the time of the printing press, who redid the Bible in English. They were partly angry because of a conglomerate that they had, and they was also angry because who gave them the right to determine what the scripture actually meant. This goes back to the people who are chosen to be in these offices set up by Scripture don't need the written word. I mean, the written word is good for them to use. But the Bible is very clear when it says that there comes a time when the word will be written on your heart. There's going to come a time when we're not going to be able to find a Bible, much less read one. But the preaching will continue. The understanding will be passed on. The truth will continue. Now, I said this because I wanted you to understand that reading different Bibles can get you somewhat confused. But the Bible that you're reading, whatever it is, stick with that Bible. Because what you're saying is, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to give me the truth in this book, no matter what it is that man tried to do to it. Because that's what the Scripture says that he was going to do. He is going to lead you into truth, which means that whatever it is that people try to do, no matter how they try to hide Scripture, no matter what they try to do, the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that you get the truth. So it's not about the book. It's not about the man who printed the book. It's not about the people who change the things of the Old Testament or New Testament, the translation from Greek to Roman, the translation from Latin to Greek to English. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have to trust, again, faith. You have to trust that what you need to get, you will get. And there's no one that can prevent you from getting it. There will be arguments. There will even be fights because religion has called war and is going on now and has been going on for thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And I'm not talking about when God told Abraham to go. Nations were fighting over their own religion long before God talked to Abraham. The last time man was in one accord, one frame of mind, believing the same thing, God put a stop to it. And he put a stop to it because it wasn't time. Prophecy has to take its course. And no one can change that. It has to be, and it will be, regardless of what we think or believe we can do, it's going to be God's way. Second verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, there's 10 tons of things that we can talk about this evening about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the water. But that's not where I want to get to. We can get back to that at a later time. What I want to get to is verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. When I first read that 21 years ago, I asked a question in my mind. Why did God have to call for light? Because I had been told that God is light. So why did he have to say, let there be light? And then the light came. I began to study Now, see, that's, I was in the first chapter of Genesis when I first came into the church for over a year. And it took me to a lot of different places in the Bible, but most of the places that it took me in the Bible was in the Old Testament. I was wondering why he called for light. And the light came on. And then I saw something that I had not saw before. In the fourth verse, it said, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." I didn't see at any time whatsoever where God said, "Let there be darkness." God did not call for darkness. And because he separated the light from the darkness, that means the darkness already was there. The water was already there, and darkness was already there. And if God is light, how could there be any darkness? See, these are the things that the skeptics get a hold to, and they think that they found something that they can run away with and say, you know, you people are idiots, you people are fools. You know, just read this. Common sense will tell you this, and common sense will tell you that. That's the reason why God gave some apostles, some evangelists. Where did darkness come from? When we get further off into this, the light and the darkness are going to become apparent if you haven't grabbed hold to it already, if you don't understand it already. For those who do not understand it, or those who think they understood it but don't, it's going to become apparent to you what the purpose for the light and the darkness was. Our call-in guest line is 1-917-889-8881. 1-917-889-8881. To call in, all you have to do is dial those numbers. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Something else happened here in verse 3. God spoke for the first time. As far as in the beginning is concerned. God spoke for the first time. Now, there is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 years of study, I guess, or thereabout, and to God said. Because the ramifications of God said will blow your mind. The ramifications of God speaking will blow you away. For instance, let's look at, I don't know, the first chapter of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made." The person we know is Jesus. Now, when I say took over, I don't mean he wasn't in the first or second verse. I'm saying this is the first time that he was mentioned in the Bible. Because you have to know that Jesus is the Word of God. So if God said, he spoke in action. And the Word performed that action. He opened the door. God opened the door. He walked in. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms, 33rd chapter. Psalm 33. Psalms 33. Verse 6. By God's grace, the scripture reads, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, let's make a connection. The Bible says that God is spirit. Heaven was created by the spirit. Now, the interesting part about this is that when you start to connect in the dots, it all brings you back to the first chapter of Genesis. Whatever we learn about Jesus Christ, whatever we learn about the Father, whatever we learn about the Holy Spirit, brings us back to the first chapter of Genesis. Most people are so much in a hurry to get to the prophet. Or they're, somebody told me one time that they only concern themselves with the words that are written in red, which is when Jesus is talking. Different ways of coming into their personal realization of what the Bible is saying. They also pit their pastor against other pastors. They tend to like the same pastors that their pastor likes and dislike the same pastors that their pastor dislikes. If their pastor don't trust a pastor, they don't trust him. The problem with being able to put the pieces together is that it was not given to everyone. And it was not given to every home. The job of the apostle is not the job of the pastor. The job of the apostle is that they are all one. But it also says that just as the body, they have different things. They're doing different things for different reasons. But all of the reasons ever lived comes back to the Creator. And we just read that the Creator, for much of what we think the Father made the Son fall here, because I have a tendency to do that sometimes, because it causes problems, because it creates situations for the people. So I'm going to try to follow this line of rationale or reason, if you will. But I want you to know speaking have to change how you view what it is you're looking at. The words. I've been teaching for quite some time now on the subject of Jesus speaking, the words that Jesus used. Most of the time when we're looking for miracles or we're looking for our prayers are not being answered or you know, things like that, it's because we're speaking anti-God without even realizing that we're doing it. We're asking God to do something that he won't do because we're not lined up with his word. And I know you've heard that phrase before. You have to be lined up with the word of God. And oftentimes, when people say that, they're talking about verses. They're talking about chapters. They're talking about a verse or a chapter as if it's the whole scripture. That there is a difficulty grabbing hold to Jesus and what he's saying if you don't understand that every single word he speaks and he spoke has purpose in it. And most of the time, the purpose has nothing to do with you. It's hard for us to reconcile ourselves, our lives, our function with what we was and what we are now. Because what we were continues to creep into what we are now. And the resting place of before we called on the name of Jesus, before we believed in our heart and confessed in our mouth, before we did that, we were locked into this concept. And more often than not, it was years and years and years of us practicing to be an enemy of God before we started learning how to be a friend. And some people got this crazy idea that while it may have taken them 35 years to find Jesus, actually he found them, but that's another subject, it takes them 15 minutes to understand everything that they need to understand about who Jesus is. And that sends them off on the wrong path. That's how so many wrong people wind up in the center seat, and so many wrong people wind up behind the pulpit. Because they have no idea that what they've been taught was an error. Bishop told me a long time ago, I said, you know, that some preachers are just wrong. He said, don't say that. Don't ever say that. Because you don't understand what the connotations of wrong is. Because there's only wrong and right. And if you don't fully understand the connotations of wrong, don't use the word. Then he said, what you say is they are in error. That stayed fresh in my mind. It's fresh to this day. When you begin to grab hold to the Bible and understand that it doesn't have inferences, You can't infer when you're reading the Bible. It doesn't lend itself to people who are trying to infer. Through the scripture, it tells you things are either is or is not. There's nothing in the middle. It is or it is not. But because we have been trained in that middle ground, we take the Bible there with us. And until someone comes along and begins to train us and teach us how to avoid that trap, we continue to do it from the pulpit, from everywhere that we're going, every person that we're talking to, because this is how man operates. Most people want to serve the Lord from the pulpit and still dibble and dabble in the earth. Well, this is what they bring the congregations to that middle ground. Either you know what the Bible says or you don't. And if you say you know what the Bible says and what it means and you don't, you'd fall up under that woe. You know, woe unto them that scattereth my people. You fall under that woe. So you have to understand going in, if it turns out that I have been wrong and I have been teaching wrong, and I fall on my knees before the Lord, no matter what it is, no matter whatever else I may have done, I never knew him, and he never knew me. So before you jump behind that pulpit and you know, lead yourself into that center seat, you better understand what it is that you're doing. I'm getting off into something else again. Forgive me. We're going to go through one more thing, and then we're going to cut this off. Set this up for 90 minutes. I don't think we're going to actually make 90 minutes, but we'll see. And God saw the light that it was good. We're in Genesis 1:4. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't it interesting how the evening comes before the morning, the darkness comes before the light? We'll get into that a little later. But here's the thing. And the darkness he called night. During this study, we're going to find that everything said about darkness in Scripture has evil connected to it. When you hear day, you hear light, you hear morning, it has good connected to it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to you that no evil was done during the day. Good was done during the night. That's crazy. Most of the time that Paul went on the streets of Corinth was at night. It was easier for him to hide. At night than it was, you know, during the day, because during the day the people would have came and got him. So he was working with the pimps and the prostitutes and all of the really vile people who walked the streets of Corinth at night. And some of those were trying to kill him. But that's what he was preaching the gospel at, in a safe building, waiting for the few people who believe to come find him and be all comfortable and whatnot. He went where the people were. He went where the need was. And that was extremely dangerous for him to do. But Paul had gotten to the point where he began to understand what death was. And he was associated with light. And he couldn't change the edict that was spoken to Adam and fell upon all men. He could not be afraid of it. This is why he walked out there. It's one thing to say I'm afraid, then it's another thing altogether to say I'm afraid so I won't do. Because of my fear, I won't do it. That's something altogether different than just being afraid. So fear come on people all the time, but it doesn't stop them from going forward, because when it stops you from moving forward or accomplishing things, then that's when it becomes a problem. So that's the fear connected to the service of Jesus Christ. And if you think that's not, you know, you're mistaken. God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and he separated them. He separated the light from the day. When I first started reading this about 20 years ago, I immediately made an assumption, and that's what, you know, we do sometimes when we're reading the Bible. We assume. I made an assumption until I continued to read, and something jumped out at me. See, the light was there, the darkness was there, but the sun or the moon had not yet been created. There were no stars. There were no other suns. There were no other moons. So what was this light and what was this darkness? He called for the light to appear. Darkness was already there. Then he separated them. They're separated to this day. See, what you're witnessing is, mean the word witness. What you're witnessing is the separation of good and evil. Good has its function and went about doing what it was called to do. Evil had its function and it went ahead to do what it was called to do. There's an interesting scripture in the Bible that says, I form light. I create darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things. But that must drive the cynics, the unbelievers, nuts. Or in reality, it may make them jump up and down and shout, because this is truth that, you know, the Bible is full of nonsense. Because what sane person would create evil? See, here comes the part where I have been admonished a few times. Here comes the part where we tend to forget, or we use it the wrong way. See, the scripture says, who knows the mind of God? See, we be asking why sometimes when we shouldn't even be bothered with that. That's God's business. if the Lord ever wants someone to explain, then he would or have bring someone forth to do this. See, this is one of those things that we have to accept without explanation, without understanding, without seeing for ourselves. This is one of those things that we have to use faith for. You know, we know. Women say men are nosy, men say women are nosy. We all know. We all want to know something that we don't know. We all want to grab hold to some information that someone else doesn't have. And we're not too, you know, lazy about sharing this information, whether we feel it or not. Situation, and there are many, many situations like this in Scripture. Why is it irrelevant? When God wants us to know why, he'll tell us why. Until then, we keep moving forward. Now, Friday, we're going to go back over this again, and we're going to expand on this. I want to read you another verse or two, but I'm not going to go into the depth of the scriptures yet. I will tell you a little something about it, and that's what we're going to be dealing with Friday. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were above, which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second. Now, yeah, there's a great deal of information there, and it covers a great many scriptures. We can begin to understand a little about our own motivation, why we do some of the things that we do. We've been being programmed. And I know, you know, they are being, or they have been, or are being, you know, programmed, because, you know, free will means I'm sitting and I'm doing it again, I'm drifting off. But the reality of the situation is that the Bible is split up into three parts. And two parts have similar function. Only the third part expands on knowledge 5-6 times more than the first part does. The Bible moves from grace, which is Abraham, to when Moses came the law. And the law was intact from that time until Jesus. When the Bible says Jesus began to preach and to teach, that was the beginning of the end of the law. After Jesus' death, we went back to grace. We'll be dealing with this from those scriptures that we just read. If you have any questions, now is the time. A call-in number, a guest number is 1-917-889-8881. Now, my name is Pastor Jerome Pass. My Facebook, or our Facebook, is Maranatha Men, and that's where we are on Facebook. And if, for whatever reason, you can't get through to Blog Talk Radio to my broadcast, whatever questions that you have, you can contact me on Facebook, and preferably I can answer the question. If I can't answer the question, I know a lot of preachers and I know a lot of other people who may be able to answer the question for you. Telephone number is 1-917-889-8881. Phones are free. Okay. You also have to understand that I'm fairly new to operating this. So if you have called in and for some reason I didn't see it, please go to our Facebook page and post whatever it is that you wanted to find out or whatever thoughts that you may have. And we will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. It's difficult sometimes, but it's the Lord's way. It's what He decides. It's what He lives. It's what we live for, on what He has decided and what He learns or teaches us to do. What He wants us to do is what we want to do. As difficult as it may be, we are not in control. Hallelujah. Again, the guest calling number is 1-917-889-8881. Hallelujah. We have about a little over 15 minutes. Call in. Okay. Well, we have no callers this evening, but by God's grace, we have, I believe, touch someone, or at least, you know, cause them to think maybe this guy's a nut. As we grow, the callers will grow, probably pro and con. We have started this I've done this before, but I wasn't nearly as prepared as I am now, as far as the material is concerned, and as far as could I know a lot more now about this board than I did then. But that's what growth is all about. Well, here we go. God bless you. God keep you. God love you. And until we're together again, I pray blessings upon you, no matter where you may be. Amen.